John, the 10th chapter, in the 22nd verse, I'll start there. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast and the dedication of the dedication, and it was winter. I'm in the 10th chapter of John, verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Amen. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believed not. Because you're not my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's simply the same as saying, I am the same one that I'm talking about when I'm talking about my Father. But see, his sheep understand that, and those that are not his cannot understand that, and they're ready to cast stones and something like that is said. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from the Father, from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Now let me read that verse again. This is a one God verse. Many good works have I showed you from my Father. Not many good works did the first person of the Trinity show you. Many good works have I showed you from the Father. I and my Father are one. When you see me, you've seen the Father. When you see me, you've seen the one that sent me. These are words of Jesus. Except you believe I am He, you will all die in your sins. His sheep can hear that. Those that are not His sheep get hung up on that. You may be seated. So they charge him with blasphemy. Come on up, sister.
He made me do it.
Well, everybody needs this comedy hour. What about my face? Can you do something about that?
Anybody got their back? No.
What, the buttons?
Yeah, they're sticking out.
Oh, that's all right.
Looks really good on you, though.
Everybody's been looking at that, not listening to you.
They're not used to me looking good. All right. I and my Father are one. Amen. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I've showed you the Father. Amen. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. How much more simple and plain can it get? And yet, right now, today, most of the people who call themselves Christians do not believe that. Amen. They do not believe that. And they will teach you that that is not true. Who are we going to believe? The Word of God? Are we going to believe the Bible? Or are we going to join this group of people that charge Jesus with blasphemy? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Jesus, if Jesus doesn't tell the truth, we're all in a heap of trouble. But if people don't understand Him and want to lie about Him, they're the ones in trouble. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We deal with this a lot. Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled people. I've been in communication for the last 24 hours or so with a man who who just refuses to see the truth. Amen. So simple, so plain, and yet when you speak to him the truth, he comes back with answers to try to take you off on a tangent, or his answers are not the answers to your questions, you know, or it's not a proper response to what you're saying. They can't hear, because when you speak the truth on behalf of Jesus and you have the Holy Ghost, it's the same as what was going on here. Jesus was talking to people that were not going to hear from God, because they had their minds made up. They had their hearts fixed on what they wanted it to be, and nothing would change them, not even one that could open blinded eyes, set the captive free, and raise the dead. They're not going to change. I'm sorry that some people are like that, but I'm glad that we don't have to be like that. Praise God. A lot depends on whether we believe the Lord or we don't believe the Lord. If we believe the Lord, we can read His words and say amen. If we don't believe the Lord, we read His words and it doesn't make sense. It confuses us, so we try to go get a second opinion. What do you think about it? What does your church teach about this? Or go to our own thoughts. Well, let me see if I can figure this out, and try to figure it out for yourself and come up with some kind of conclusion. But the problem with that is, it might make sense for the moment, but we have a lot other scriptures in the Word of God that need to be considered, and no scriptures of any private interpretation. Amen. And all the scriptures came as a result of the Holy Ghost moving upon those writers that wrote the Word of God, and it has been preserved for the people of God to be able to refer to it and use it as an outline, as a book of examples, as something in our hand that we can have tangible to be able to show those that cannot receive the spiritual things yet. I'm telling you something, Peter didn't have to have this book to preach Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38 wasn't written until a long time after it was preached, but it was just as much the truth before it was written as it was after it's written. And it's just as much true today, although it is written, as it was before it was written. And that's not the only thing that can be said that's not written down in the pages exactly in black and white. I might not be able to say, thou shalt not do thus and so, but I can tell you on the authority of God, just the same as Peter spoke with the authority of God, some things are not of God, and you better not do them. And I'm not going against the Scriptures. I'm speaking by the Spirit that speaks truth to those that can hear God. Amen. And God would never speak anything that would conflict with His Word. So there are a lot of things that can be said without it being exactly word for word what the Scripture says. I mean, even Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote about the same events, but they didn't use the same words. And we can talk about a lot of things and not say, you know, people say, well, I got to see chapter and verse. I've got to see. I don't see that in the Bible. It doesn't say that in the Bible, you know. It does, but if you can't hear God, you can't find it in the Bible either. And what we find, we have all these people that say, I speak where the Bible speaks, and I remain silent where the Bible is silent. You know, they say those things and they think they're really spiritual or holy. They don't believe in being spiritual, so I take that back. The people that say those things, generally the ones that I know about, that say we speak where the Bible speaks and we're silent where the Bible is silent, also say that there's no such thing as inspiration today. There is no anointing today. There is no move of the Holy Spirit today. Speaking in tongues is of the devil. I've heard that from many of them, because that is not for you today. We speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible is silent. You can't be healed today. The days of miracles are over. And they say they speak where the Bible speaks, and they remain silent where the Bible is silent. Well, they're lying. The Bible teaches that the days of miracles continue. And you know, if one of them's listening right now, say, you show me that chapter and verse where it says that. You can't hear it, and so you can't find it. Praise God. But it's not hidden to those who can hear. It's all over the Word of God, and we can find it. Amen. It's there. Healing has not been discontinued. Amen. And the Holy Ghost has not gone out of business. Praise God. The promise is for me, it's for you, for your children, for their children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, continues today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is still true. Hallelujah. Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. It was settled before the scrolls were written. It was settled before the New Testament was written. And it'll be settled even if every Bible was burned. You can't destroy what God has settled. Hallelujah. You can live for God and know the Word of the Lord without ever seeing the words in the Scriptures if you can hear God. And the only way that can happen to us is we must believe when Jesus Christ is preached. And Jesus Christ is preached by a lot of people to some who do hear. Amen. And many who do not. By their fruits we know them. But when we say these things, if we say to an individual, well, I can tell you're a child of God, somebody will be standing on the sideline and say, so who are you to judge that? And they'll really say that if you say, you know, according to what I see, you're not measuring up to the Word of God. Oh, now you're judging. Amen. Now you're judging. You know what? We're instructed not to judge, but there are some conditions that go along with that. Don't judge lest you be judged by the same judgment. And Jesus was teaching these lessons to people that were not hearing from God. And they didn't have any business judging the people that heard from God. These people that say don't judge, judge us all the time. But we're told in the Word of God that His people rule and reign with Him. Rule and reign with who? The Supreme Judge. And so if we rule and reign with Him in His kingdom, then we judge with Him. And His judgment is true. Praise God. Because we are able to judge according to the Word of God. You're doing it right or you're doing it wrong. You're obeying God or you're not obeying God. So this conversation I've been having with the gentleman, he just wants to know, so how do you answer this question? What does this verse mean? What does that verse mean? What does this verse mean? Then he went over to the book of Romans and started saying these things like, so how do you reconcile Acts 2:38 with confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and be saved? And I enjoyed saying to him, in the United States Postal Service, you can go to prison for tampering with somebody else's mail. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. You're looking at somebody else's mail. Because I had just asked the man, have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Have you received the Holy Ghost with the accompanying sign of speaking in tongues? And he said, no. Then he came back, but how do you reconcile Acts 2:38 with the Romans passages that say, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you will be saved. And I said, well, I've reconciled that, but now it's your turn. But he couldn't hear it. And it's a sad situation when somebody cannot receive the wonderful truth of God. You got a lot to be thankful for if you can rejoice at the Word of God. To some people, these are just scrambled up words that cause nothing but confusion. When Jesus speaks His truth, or when a person speaks the truth on behalf of Jesus, and the Word is true, with the power of the Holy Ghost, amen. To some, it just brings rejoicing and happiness. And it's like a beautiful melody. We're in tune with it, and we're in harmony with it. And it's a new song, and it just comes forth, and we rejoice. And then somebody else is getting nothing out of it but confusion. It means nothing to me. I don't understand it. I don't know what you're saying. I sat down with an astronaut once that had worked on the mission, some of these missions that go into outer space. And we were in a hospital waiting room. He had somebody in the hospital, and so did I. So we were in a waiting room. And he found out I was a minister. And this astronaut that had been very active in space work at Cape Kennedy or whatever it is now, he said, you know, I try to read the Bible, but I cannot understand it. Now, I don't know what all an astronaut for the United States has to go through in order to become an astronaut. But I got a feeling that they understand a lot of stuff. There has to be a whole lot of things going to those minds. And a lot of studying. And there has to be a lot of discipline. And they have to understand what they study. And they have to work hard at making sure that they understand it, because a lot is on the table. There's a lot on the line. There's a lot of life and death situations involved here. And a lot of people can be hurt, and billions of dollars can be wasted. And so when they get into that position to be an astronaut for the United States, they're smart. And this man, who was very intelligent, who understood things that most of us will never have a clue about, said, I read the Bible and I can't understand it. You know what that did for me? It made me say, thank you, Jesus. Because the very things that he was telling me he could read and not understand were so clear. So clear. I'm glad you don't have to study like an astronaut to be able to receive what Jesus is saying to you. I'm glad you don't have to go to college for 8 or 10 years and do what doctors have to do in order to become a medical physician. I'm glad it's so simple that even a child can hear it. Praise God. Praise God. Children know what it takes to be saved when others have lived a lifetime studying and they can't figure it out. The difference is some believe the Lord, others do not. And when you start fighting against it, you're actually sealing your own doom. Because as you start going against the truth, you get the attention of God, who protects His truth. He loves His truth. And you're treading on dangerous territory when you fight against the truth. That's why the apostles many times were very bold. And some of us today have a tendency not to be so bold, because we're aware that, you know, people get their feelings hurt. And some of us try to hold back and protect the feelings of family members and everybody. You know, we try to consider everybody's feelings and how they think and what they're going through. And we don't want to hurt anybody. But I think it's time that somebody be a little bit bold once in a while, because the whole church world seems like is going into a lethargy, into a it's not like it used to be attitude. We don't have to preach it like we once did. I mean, even the Pentecostals, the apostolics, worldwide, there seems to be something going on here that says we're trying to fit in with others. We want to be accepted amongst those that do not hear. The only way that this gospel message is going to save souls is for it to be heard. Hallelujah! Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. It takes faith to even start out to live for God. And somebody needs to stand up somewhere and say, here's how you do it. Here's what we must believe in order to be saved. This is what we must do in order to please God. One of the most important things that anybody can consider is, who is Jesus? And what is important about His name? Everybody say, who is Jesus? Now, the answer to that question, if 1,000 people heard us when we asked that question, 1,000 probably have 1,000 different answers. Who is Jesus? Praise God. Let me tell you who Jesus is. Amen. He's God. Hallelujah. Oh, a bunch of people don't agree with that, but He still is. And if you heard that, and that made you happy, you ought to just lift your hands and praise the Lord that you're able to hear the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's not God Junior. He's not another God. He's not a co-equal God. God will have no other God beside Him. There is no co-God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to say these things. It's not popular, but neither was Jesus. But He was right. And He is right and shall be right. And what His Word was, it still is. I told you and you believed not. You believe not because you're not mine. Thank you, Jesus. Do you believe the Lord tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Those that belong to me, Jesus says, I give them eternal life. They hear me. They believe me. Praise God. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So the question comes then, well, show us the Father. Well, He answers it right here. I and my Father are one, not two. But the common teaching in the Christian world today is Jesus and His Father are two. And yet they say, but we believe in one God. Then I hear it explained so many different ways. Well, don't you see, it's like this. And all these explanations that come from so many directions always end up with, well, it's just a mystery. But when you can hear the Word of God, then you can come to the realization that great is the mystery. Great is this mystery. That God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit. It's not a mystery that can't be understood. It's a mystery that's reserved for His people. Hallelujah. If your God is a mystery and it can't be explained, you need to get a hold of the real God. Let's praise our Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. For God is spirit. And when we say that, many cannot hear it. God is spirit. 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 And I guarantee you, somebody's listening to me right now that heard me say that over and over. And when I ask you, who is God? You're going to say, He's the first person of the Godhead. God is spirit. He's not first person. He's not second person. He's not third person. What God is above all person. But Jesus is the express image of His person. And you won't find a person other than Jesus to be God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The only person that can say, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, is the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. And His name is Jesus. I'm saying truth here tonight. Somebody needs to say it. Because a lot of people are not saying these things. A lot of people are not saying it. I hope I'm not boring you. Praise God. It's going over some people's heads. Not most of you, because you've heard this over and over. Praise God. So when I say things, people here say amen. But out there in this world, there are people tuned in. There are ministers listening. There are Sunday school teachers listening. There are people that have spent years in churches and working hard to try to please God in these churches. And they're hearing these things and it's causing them to feel strange. Because if what we're saying is true, the very foundation of what they believed all their life is being challenged. So what are we going to do? Because we don't want to hurt their feelings, hold it back. No, what's going to happen if we hold it back? Their feelings are going to be hurt more than we could have ever hurt them forever. And I don't know what kind of pain an eternal being will feel. We think our pain is severe. You can burn yourself and think, oh my, I would hate to go to hell and be burned with fire. Well, you don't have any kind of idea what kind of fire hell is going to be. It's not just going to be burning flesh. It's a place where the devil that lives forever will be tormented forever. And hell was prepared for the devil, not for you. But if you're going to go there, there's going to be a fire hotter than anything you've ever known about burn you forever. And it's not going to burn you away. It's going to burn you forever. Well, they don't preach about hell anymore. Who doesn't preach about hell? What happened to them? I came into this thing afraid of hell. Because I heard some preachers saying, if you don't get right, you're going to go to hell. But I haven't hardly heard anybody but myself say that in the last 10 years. Hallelujah. But I've heard a lot of people tell each other to go to hell. Praise God. I'm not serving God today because I'm afraid of hell, but I started out because I was afraid of hell. In my early beginning Christian walk, they preached hell, fire, and brimstone. And they preached it to such a degree, I did not want to go there. Now, once I started responding to all that, amen, God got a hold of my heart, and there came a growth in God in my relationship with Him that I came to realize. I don't even have to worry about that anymore. The main thing I needed was just to love Jesus. And so there needs to be that teaching along with this, that we need to come to God because we love Him. We need to come to Him and serve Him because we love Him. But how can people be taught to love Him when they won't even believe Him? And something has to be done to shake them up and get their attention. There's more to this than meets the eye. You're going to burn forever in a devil's hell if you don't get baptized in Jesus' name. And believe in one God, and that God is Jesus. This is Word of God truth, and anything else is a liar and of the devil. And I'm not mad at anybody. I can sing and smile and say that at the same time. I don't have a shaky voice. My heart's not beating fast. And I'm not fighting anybody. But praise God! What got Jesus crucified and the apostles stoned is what we're preaching to you tonight. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! People go over there into the epistles of Paul and say, but Paul taught it like this. Paul taught it like that. Paul said you can get saved like this. And you can get saved. Look, Paul was a one God Jesus name baptized Holy Ghost speaking in tongues preacher. And he believed that it was essential. You've got to be baptized to be saved. Paul, the apostle, preached to believers that believed in their heart and confessed with their mouth. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And how were you baptized? Well, we were baptized in the same river where Jesus was baptized. We were baptized in the same water where Jesus was baptized. We were baptized by the same man that baptized Jesus. Well, you need to be baptized over again because you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus, not just in the place where Jesus was baptized. And if that was true then, don't you think you can get by with Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, title, baptism. You need to get baptized in the name of Jesus or you're going to hell. And if that's not something you can hear, God have mercy on your poor soul and your family and your descendants, because there's no hope for you to enjoy eternal life. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Wait a minute, wait, preacher. We're supposed to preach love. That's what I am preaching. If my dad and mom hadn't loved me enough to straighten me out, I would not be alive today. Hallelujah. I'm not your daddy. And not your mama. But I'm speaking for daddy. Hallelujah. My sheep hear my voice. Who are you? I am my Father. Take it or leave it. I can't understand it. Well, if you believe it, you're going to go to hell. Just because you don't understand what Jesus says doesn't mean you're not supposed to believe it. Except you believe I am He. You will die in your sins. Thank you, Jesus. That's what Jesus taught. He taught. Jesus is the one that taught this, not me. I'm only teaching it because that's what Jesus taught. Jesus taught that He is the Father. Didn't He teach it? Did Jesus say, I and my Father are one? Then why do we have to come up with some other answer to who Jesus is? Did Jesus say, I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Then why do we have to try to debate whether He's beside the Father, when He already explained He's in the Father? Hallelujah. Didn't Jesus say, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Then why do we have to get somebody else explain to us what He really meant was this? No, what He meant was what He said. But if we understand it or not, it's His Word. Believe it anyhow. Except you believe I am He, you will die in your sins. That's the words of Jesus. He was talking about except you believe I, Jesus, am the Father that made all things, you will die in your sins. And see, those that cannot hear this, they analyze these words and they try to figure it all out, because Jesus was only born 2,000 years ago. So how can this be? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. But don't let all this stinking thinking brainwash you, because tradition has taught us wrong. Tradition has said, I can't understand that, so let me explain it our way, so everybody can understand it. What that means is, in the beginning was the Father, and the Son was with Him, and all three of them were there. Then one day, God sent His Son down to be crucified, and they can't always explain exactly how the second person of the Trinity became a baby. That's just a mystery. And was born. But somehow they're quick to explain, but He's always been on the second throne or side by side with the Father, because He's co-equal, co-eternal, coexistent, always has been God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Three persons in the Godhead. And if that's what you believe tonight, my friend, you are going to hell. Hey, that don't sound like love, Brother Willis. No, it's rescue. You don't always whisper when you're rescuing somebody from perishing. Hallelujah. If your child was darting out into the highway in front of a 18-wheeler, would you say, honey, don't do that? Thank you, Jesus. If you found a train coming down the track and your child taking a nap on that railroad track, would you say, lullaby? Or would you not say, hey! Get off that track! You're going to die! That would be love. And to say to you, the false doctrine that you're believing and accepting and swallowing, hook, line, and sinker, is going to take you to hell and you're going to suffer forever, is love. Yes. Praise our God tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish. Alright, if we believe on Him, we should not perish. But you know, a lot of folks don't want to read it the way it's written. And they change it just a little bit. You know what the Bible says? It says, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. No, it says should not perish. But you know what? I guess shall would be all right. Because if we believe on Him, we obey Him. And we will not perish. But if we say we believe on Him, and we think of Him as a three-person God, we're fooling ourselves. Hallelujah. We don't believe on Him at all. The biggest command that God gave His people, I'm not saying it's the only command, but this is the one that was emphasized over and over. When you wake up in the morning, you gather your children around and you tell them, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you tell them in the morning, and you tell them at noontime, and before they go to bed at night, remind them, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And Lord, tell us, what is the great commandment, the greatest of all? Hear, O Israel! The Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt serve the Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thine heart. It's all part of one great, great command of God. Believe in one God. Love one God. And then live for God. If we can find out who that one God is, amen, we can believe in Him and not perish. But if we can't hear the Word of God, we may never find Him. If we do find Him, and since there's so much in the Word of God about His name, so much about His name, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name. Praise God. Praise God. If we could find that name. David used the name without knowing the name and brought down a giant. But we know the name. We're going to bring down the devil. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I come to you in the name of the Lord, brought down the giant. I come to you in the name of Jesus. Take sin right out of your life. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give to them eternal life. They will never perish. And nobody can take them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me. And my Father is greater than all of them. And no man can take them out of my Father's hand. And I am my Father. I and my Father are one. Wait now. This is where I don't catch it. That's what I'm trying to say to you. You're not believing Him because you can't understand it. Stop trying to believe Him because you can't, only when you can understand Him. He didn't say you have to understand Him in order to be saved. He said seek understanding. But He did say, you've got to repent of those sins. And He did tell Peter, I give you the keys. And whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose will be loosed. Now, Peter, you're going to be the spokesman and you tell the people what to do. I've told you, I've told all the disciples that repentance and remission of sin is to be preached in my name beginning at Jerusalem. Now, when you preach it, you make sure you do it. Hallelujah. And Peter preached repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the Holy Ghost. He preached it right after he and all those other disciples and all those 120 people in that upper room had been speaking in tongues and receiving the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It wasn't something that he had time to get real carnal. They didn't have time to go back on the job and rub shoulders with all those unbelievers. They had been gathered together, believing God, waiting on the promise. God filled them all with the Holy Ghost. And they just turned around and looked outside and said, and you need it too. You need the Holy Ghost. You need to repent of your sins. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. That was God speaking to the entire human race through His vessel that knew His voice. Let's praise Him again tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If I made anybody mad tonight, you'll probably be the first one to receive this. Because I hope that you're so angry that you will look into the Word and try to prove this preacher wrong. Thank you, Jesus. I hope you'll sit up all night aggravated at me. Thank you, Jesus. You won't be the first one that woke up the next day and said, show me where the water is. Help me find a Pentecostal preacher. I've been lied to. I've been hoodwinked all my life. I have built my entire Christian experience on a bunch of lies. Thank God. If you can get so mad that you come to that conclusion, praise God, I will rest in peace. Maybe next time I'll preach love. God bless you, Brother Jeff.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Wonderful, perfect Word of God. Amen. I hope you still love the Word and love the message. Let's love the Lord tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. The boldness. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for your authority. God, thank you for waking us up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.